As we're, you're turning to Joshua chapter 8. Joshua is the story of the children of Israel coming into the promised land. Amen? Praise the Lord. Don't dog ear more than one page at a time in your notes. Otherwise you'll preach something you didn't prepare for. All right. Father, we just thank you for this word today. We thank you for the promises that you give us, your promises that you keep. We are unable to keep a promise, Lord, because we are flawed. Though you indwell us and you're transforming and changing us, we mess up often. So, Father, we thank you that we're not looking at our mess up. We're not dwelling or focusing on those things where we mess up and where we fail. Lord, we simply receive forgiveness. Father, thank you for forgiving me. I confess my sin. Thank you for forgiving me. And then we walk totally forgiven, totally in the presence of the Lord, in joy, in thanksgiving, without looking back. So, Father, we thank you today as we read from the book of Joshua about the walk of the people of God into the promised land. It was not without failure. It was not without trouble. But, Father, we thank you that you were with your people. And you said, do not forsake my word and my promises, but walk in them and know them and understand them. And I will be with you. So we give you praise that that's the truth today, is that we are walking in this promised land in ourselves, having received the Holy Spirit and the gospel of God, and that we are walking and taking land for the kingdom. And we love you and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. How many know we're walking in the promised land or we're walking it out? You walked across, you came across the Jordan River, and God is with you. He is no longer giving manna. He's changed his modus operandi. He's changed the way that he operates and provides for you. You are now in the promised land. He is walking with you. You're hearing his voice. He is commanding you daily. Amen. This is who we are. You know, we're not just, you know, sitting on a bench, sitting on a park bench, sitting on a bus stop, waiting for God to come, waiting for Jesus to come. We are actively engaged in the perpetuation of the kingdom of heaven in this earth. Amen? Praise the Lord. So here we begin in the city of Ai that was a failure last time around. It was a failure because we had disobeyed God. It's not because God was shaking his finger at you, telling you, well, you were a failure, so here's your punishment. But the fact that we disobey God, we fall into error. We fall into problems. Amen? Don't cross against the light. Your life is liable to get smacked. You're liable to get run over. Amen? God has set laws in the earth so that we walk according to his will, walking according to his promise. You don't just walk willy-nilly. You don't just walk, you know, well, I can do whatever I want to do. You have the word on the inside of you. You remember when he began in Joshua, he said, let not this law, book of the law depart out of your mouth, but you shall walk therein, meditate therein day and night. Then shalt thou make thy way prosperous. Then shalt thou have good success. God is with you, but God is with his word. Amen? God is with his promises. And so we found out in the book of, in chapter 6, that they came through Jericho. And then chapter 7, we found out that they went against the city of Ai, and they ran, and they, with only 3,000 guys, they didn't bring enough resources. And then they chased them off with just a few guys. In fact, they lost some people because they didn't hear and listen to God. How many know that we can mess up and not hear the voice of God and then get in trouble? Anybody ever done that? Amen. It's not that God's chasing after you with a 2x4. It's just you crossed against the light. You know, you did not hear the Lord. You did not take time to hear the Lord. We get further down in the next chapter. We find out that they did not listen to the Lord in chapter 9. They didn't take time to listen to God. Same thing was true in chapter 7. They didn't ask God. They said, you know, I think we can handle this. Let's just get a few guys together. We'll run up there. The last one was really easy, you know, back there in Jericho. And this is a little city, so I think we can take this one. No problem. Well, that little city, they were kind of uppity. And they just ran you off, you know. And besides that, when they were in the city, they had how did they fail? They had taken of the accursed thing. They have walked out there against God. It's not that God doesn't want you blessed. He said, just don't take the thing that I told you not to take. And there's a reason I told you not to take it. I just didn't tell you the reason. You know, sometimes you don't need to know a reason. You know, my mother used to tell me, I said, how come I got to do that? She said, because I said so. And she also said, because I'm the parent and you're the kid. You ever heard of that? I had a good mother. Amen. Because I'm the parent and you're the kid. She had that straightened out. She knew that. So all you parents here, I got mostly grandparents, I know, but I'll talk to these young people here. And so God says, you're the parent and they're the kid. Amen. We've got a world today where the kid decides everything. You ever notice that? We got a world today where the kid decides everything. Well, I don't think I'm a boy, I'm a girl. You know what? If they're not, they're not. Amen. Oh my gosh, our church might get shut down. Praise the Lord. Well, wouldn't that be fun? We could meet somewhere else. Amen. We could meet outside, you know, if they come get us. You know. So, but we preach the truth because Jesus said, the Father said, male and female created he them. And he created them male and female, not female and male. And then he got confused. No, he didn't get confused. Amen. Do we have sin in the world? Do we have people confused in the world? Absolutely. But God is not confused. If you say, God made me. God made me. In Psalm 139, he says, for you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He wrought you. He created you with you in mind as you are. Amen? He created you in mind as you are. And so much in the world is full of confusion to say, well, you know. But the problem is that if you go back to the book of Genesis, you have this serpent who shows up and says, did God say? Then it says, oh yes, absolutely. He said, if you partake of that tree, you shall surely die. And then what does the enemy tell you say then? Oh, you shall not surely die. Well, wait a minute. Okay, now we've just called God a liar. God creates, and we live out in His creation. We live according to His creation. God does this, and His law is set. So I keep dropping this little thing here, so I don't blow into it. So God does these things, and He sets His will and His word in this world so that we walk according to it and are blessed. Amen? We are blessed according to His word and according to His promise. So here we go, that they got the sin out in chapter 7, as you may remember, a guy named Achan, and you know, the guy who saw it, coveted it, and then he took it. And then he took it back to his tent and buried it. So in other words, the thing that God said don't do, he did it and hid it. And see, and he got in trouble, didn't he? And then they stoned him and all of his and put him under a pile of stones. You know, to get sin out, the point is to get sin out of the land. The point of that story is not forgiveness for the sake of forgiveness, but the point of that story is get sin out. God wants sin out of His land and out of His people. Because sin will destroy the people. So you say, God, if there be any wicked way in me, take it out. Take it out. And you know, He does that. He moves in with the Holy Spirit. He moves in to you and He transforms you, and He changes you, and He takes sin out. Romans chapter 6 tells us, sin shall not have dominion over you. He says, reckon yourselves, therefore, dead unto sin, and alive unto God. Chapter 8, Joshua. And the Lord said to Joshua, fear not, neither be dismayed. So we're coming at this city of Ai again. Ai. So it says, fear not, neither be you dismayed. I have given into your hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Joshua 6:16 says, he has given you the city. So, he has given us the city. Now, I want to bring this back around to the church itself in the world. Is that he, how many know? God has given you the city. Amen? Jackie, God has given you the city. Well, we're just over in a homeless shelter. That's in the city. God has given you the city. So, how many, so God, if God has given you the city, what's he want you to do? Go get it. Amen? Go get it. Praise the Lord. So, rather than having some thought that, I'm not quite prepared. I haven't made my notes and, I'm not quite prepared for this. No, God has already put His Spirit on the inside of you. And you are prepared and able to walk into a place because the Holy Spirit makes room for you. The Holy Spirit makes room for you. God, the Spirit of God, made room for the children of Israel as they came into these cities. As they trusted Him, and as they sought His face. All right? And you shall do to the king of Ai, verse 2. I'm going to mispronounce this all over the place. And her king, as you did to Jericho and her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof you shall take for a prey for yourselves. Lay you an ambush for the city behind it. I want to come back to that ambush. So Joshua arose and all the people of war to go up against Ai, and Joshua chose 30,000 mighty men of valor. Well, that's better than 3,000, like he said the last time. And sent them away by night. And he commanded them, saying, verse 4, behold, you shall lie in wait against the city, even behind the city, and go not very far from the city, but be you ready. So here he is, they're preparing themselves. God said, set an ambush behind the city. You know, we ought to be setting an ambush. What do you think? Amen? That's good wisdom. You know, if they run out the back, we'll be there to get them. Amen? You have purpose. You have the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we come to a city, we're prepared with an ambush, both in the front and in the back. Amen? Is that you are prepared with the word of the Lord and the gospel of Jesus to take that city. Is that your city? Yes. God said, that's my city. I'm taking that city. So the fact is that when you come in and you are, God tells you, set an ambush at the back. Make sure that they don't escape. That's what Jesus wants for that city. Not to destroy them, but to bring them into the kingdom. Amen? To bring them into the kingdom. The Old Testament is about destroy and get out the sin. The New Testament is about bring them in, isn't it? The New Testament is about bringing people into the kingdom. Don't let them escape. Amen? Don't let people escape. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you're just using us and causing us to be that minister of the gospel, not a pastor or a preacher, but an ambassador for the kingdom of heaven, no matter where I am, no matter who I meet, no matter what I'm doing, whatever my job description is, my first job description is a minister of the gospel, is an ambassador of Jesus Christ. So look here in verse 5, he says, "And I and all the people that are with me shall approach the city, and shall come to pass that when they come out against us," that's at the first, "we will flee," the first time we tried this, we will flee from before them. So in other words, we're going to put on a scam. We're going to, "Oh my gosh, here they come again. They're going to get us." So you turn around and start running. Well, all of a sudden, they're emboldened, you know. "For they will come out after us," till verse 6, "till we have drawn them from the city, for they will say, they flee before us as at the first. Therefore, we will flee before them." Verse 7, "Then you shall rise up from the ambush," there at the back, "and seize upon the city. For the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand." All right, here, let's look over. Verse 12, "And he took them about 5,000 men and set them to lie in an ambush between Bethel and Ai on the west side of the city. And when they had set the people, even all the host," where'd I put them? "Even all the city, Joshua went that night into the midst of the valley. And it came to pass when the king of Ai saw it, that they hasted and rose up early, and the men of the city went out against Israel to battle, and he and all his people at a time appointed," this is verse 14, "before the plain, but he knew not that there were liars in ambush against him behind the city. And Joshua and all Israel made as if they were beaten before them and fled by the way of the wilderness. And all the people that were in Ai were called together to pursue after them. And they pursued after Joshua and were drawn away from the city. And there was not a man left in Ai or Bethel that went not out after Israel." So there they are, chasing them down. You know, let's go get them. We're gonna do them, get them again, the same way we got them last time. Verse 18, "And the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city, and the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as they had stretched out his hand. And they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire." And then let's drop down a little bit in verse 28. "And Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, even a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree till the evening, and as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his carcass down from the tree and cast it at the entering of the gate of the city, and raise thereon a great heap of stones that remains to this day." Now, so you've wiped out the city, you take out the king. What's the king? The king is the doctrine. The king is the word of the devil, the word of the enemy, the word of the existing realm and regime. So God has come into this city. God has come into the city of Ai. God has come into the city of Fort Worth. God has come into the nation of the United States and cast down the will of the enemy. Amen? Because of the word of the Lord. Now let's look at that. It's an interesting connection here between Deuteronomy 27 and the rest of this chapter. "Then Joshua built an altar." This is verse 30, okay? Sorry, Joshua 8, verse 30. "Then Joshua," after they took care of the king, "then Joshua built an altar to the Lord of Israel in the amount of Ebal. And as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones, over which no man lifted up any iron, any tools, and they offered thereon burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings." Okay, I want you to look over or make a note of Deuteronomy chapter 27. "And Moses with the elders commanded the people." This is the book of Deuteronomy, the second reading of the law. And here, as they're prepared to enter into the promised land, here he is just telling what they are going to do when they get to a certain location within the promised land, which is Mount Ebal. Now you remember we just read that in Joshua chapter 8, they had come to Mount Ebal. So Moses commanded the elders of Israel, saying, keep all the commandments which I command you this day, and it shall be on the day when you shall pass over Jordan to the land which the Lord your God gives you, that you will set up great stones and plaster them with plaster. And you shall, so you create basically a wall, a thing to write on. And you shall write upon them all the words of this law when you are passed over, that you may go into the land which the Lord your God gives you, a land that flows with milk and honey, as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you. Therefore it shall be, when you have gone over Jordan, that you shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster. Okay, so they're coming into the land, and they are going to get to this mountain eventually. And so here in Joshua chapter 8, they have arrived. And this is a command that God gave them to something to do and to accomplish when they had gotten to this point. So that prophecy is now being fulfilled. Okay. Let's see here. Therefore it shall be that when you have gone over Jordan, you shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with plaster, and there shall you build an altar to the Lord, which is what we just read, and to the Lord your God, an altar of stones, and you shall not lift up any iron tool upon them. Which is how they did it. Because they're back reading this passage in the law. You shall build the altar of the Lord your God of whole stones, and you shall offer burnt offerings thereon to the Lord your God. And you shall offer peace offerings, and shall eat there, and rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write upon these stones all the words of this law very plainly. When he says, so again, you know, they're not writing on a round rock. They said they had created this wall of stones and stood it up, and then they plastered over it, just like you would do, you know, in building a building. A lot of this building had, when it was built, was cinder blocks, but then they plastered over it for the interior. They plastered over that so that it was a nice, flat, paintable surface. And so in this case, it's a surface upon which you can write. And so they wrote upon the stones, verse 8 in chapter Deuteronomy 27, verse 8, you shall write upon the stones all the words of the law very plainly. Don't do nice calligraphy. Do it just hastily. Verse 9, and Moses and the priests and the Levites spoke to all Israel, saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day. You are become the people of the Lord your God. You shall therefore obey the voice of the Lord your God to do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. And Moses charged the people the same day. This is verse 11 in chapter Deuteronomy 27, verse 11. And Moses charged the people the same day, saying, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when you are come over to Jordan, Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Joseph and Benjamin. And these shall stand upon the Mount Ebal to curse. Stand upon Mount Ebal to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak and say to all the men of Israel with a loud voice, cursed be the man that makes any graven or molten image or abomination to the Lord, the work of the hands of the craftsman who puts it in a secret place. And all the people shall answer and say, amen. And they go on to complete that part of their commandment. Now, if we look back over here at Joshua chapter 8 again, and you'll begin with verse 32, and he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote in the presence of the children of Israel. And all Israel and their elders and officers and their judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side, before the priests, the Levites, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, as well the stranger as he that was born among them, half of them opposite Mount Gerizim, and half of them opposite Mount Ebal. Again, you know, as we see here, is that he is actually fulfilling this prophecy, when you come into the land, when you come into the land, then you repeat and you write and you declare the law of God. In verse 34, in chapter 8 of Joshua, Joshua 8, verse 34, and afterward he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were conversant among them. So they fulfilled this prophecy as they came into the land. Amen? So it's powerful because he said, this day are you become the people of God. So, and again, reading back from Deuteronomy 27, verse 9. And he's saying, take heed and hearken, O Israel, this day are you become the people of the Lord your God. So, to see God manifest himself and to see the fulfillment of the prophecy, isn't that powerful? That you see that God fulfills his word. God took them from a command to, once you get to Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal, well, certainly they had no idea where they're going to end up. Sometimes you think that way, don't you? You said, I don't know how I'm going to end up. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what the Lord is going to do. You know, God sets a place and time to set you in his presence. And God did that. He set them between Mount Gerizim and Mount Ebal. Once they got there, now they knew where they were going, but God had led them through these battles first and then brought them there, said, this day are you the people of, you are the people of God. So in making them this day the people of God, how did he do that? By reading to them his word, by reciting to them his promises. So not the media, not the news, not the things, even though, you know, these things, well, this happened, my golly, they had a camera there, and it certainly did happen. You know, is that, but the end of the things that happen and are reported to you are not the end of things. God knows exactly what is happening underneath and on top. He knows what's happening at the border. You know, why is that border doing that? Why are they doing that down there? I don't know. You know, boy, that seems, you know, awful and terrible what they're doing. Or I mean, you begin to have an opinion about everything that's written in stone. Don't have an opinion that's written in stone about what you may see going on in the world. Ask Jesus. Ask the Lord. Spend time in his presence. Don't spend time on the TV or listen to the podcast. I hear that all. Dave, I love you. So many people are listening to so many podcasts of so many kinds. Yeah. I mean, you know, but you got to take it with a grain of salt. Right? Amen. Because you don't know what God does not report to you everything he's doing. You just want to be prepared for what you're going to do next. Amen? So you're hearing the Lord as to what to do next. You don't judge things according to what you see. You judge according to the hearing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Over in John chapter 3, as we read at the during Christmas this time, I thought that was an interesting take on the Christmas story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. If I'm in John chapter 3 and I look back at verse 15, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's the people looking at the serpent up in the Old Testament. Verse 16, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God didn't just love the Christians. He didn't just love the Calvinists. You know, he loved, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So that's the message that we bring. Amen? That's the message that we bring to the world. For God so loved you, Mr. World, Mrs. World. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's the ambush, by the way. Amen? That's the ambush. The ambush is God is for you. As much as you have hated God and stood against God and not loved God and walked according to the ways of this world, the ambush is that God loves you. God loves you. Do you know that? How many know that God loves the world? How many know that you, with the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, love the world? Amen? Now, what about all this destruction back in the Old Testament? It's getting rid of sin. It's a different dispensation. It's before the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of grace is God loves the world. And he has given his Son. And all of their sins are forgiven. You know that because your sins are forgiven. Do you know your sins are forgiven, by the way? I mean, you know, some people sin, but then they sin here, they sin there. But then they really sin one day. You know, you think, oh man, I've done it. You know? I mean, there are people that really think that, is that they think, oh, I've done it now. No, you haven't. You can't sin your way. I'm talking to Christians. You can't sin your way out of the grace of God. As bad as you could be, you cannot sin now. You know, Hebrews 6, you can go back and look at that. We can talk about that. You know, well, what about the one that says if you've done this and this and this? Well, you can't do that if you're still asking that question. You're like a little baby. You're like Aria here, you know. You're like a little kid old enough to look at you and say, when you say, because I said so, I hate you. You know? Amen? They know you're going to feed them in 5 minutes. You know? That's the baby. That's a child. That's a child. The only person that can get out of the kingdom of God, number one, is by a choice, not by an accident, is that you would decide and you would say, because you know the Lord God, you would stand right before him and say, you know, God, I'm done. I just threw. I don't need any of this anymore. I think I'll make it on my own. You know. But that'd be somebody like Pastor Jim. That'd be somebody like Moses. That'd be somebody who has known what the Scripture says, somebody who has known the power of the good Word of God, the powers of the world to come, somebody who actually knows the love of God. But that's not, it's probably not you. I know you know the love of God. But some people get worked up. And they get all excited and they look at their sin. They think they've sinned their way out. And said, the church has not helped, by the way. Amen. The church has not helped. Amen. I mean, you know, we got folks who still, just that emotional thought from religion comes into the back of your mind and says, oop, I guess I've done it now. You know, God is, or this is why everything is happening to me, is because God, but the thought is that God is actively after you because of your sin. Because you sinned and he is causing everything to go wrong in your life. No. That's already built into the whole thing. That's already built into the world. That's why he put the law there. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. You know, don't take that unclean thing. Don't covet. Because when you covet, then that leads to taking stuff. And that leads to putting you in jail. Or getting you killed by the husband or the woman that you went after. You know, you have stupid things that the world does, that you do in the world, to try to save yourself. And God said, listen to me. How many people just run off and just, you know, you think you're in trouble, you run off and you borrow money, right? You know, get yourself in a bigger hole, right? Amen. Come talk to the kingdom of God. Come talk to the elders. Come before the Lord. Pray. Ask God before you jump into the fire. Jump into a foolish solution. But the point being is that, back to, for God so loved the world, is He loved. He loves the world. Do you know you love the world? No, I don't. I love not the world, the Bible says. No, we're not talking about worldly things. We're talking about people. You love the world the same way Jesus does. By golly, oh, I don't. I can't love those wicked people. Well, why not? Jesus did. Jesus ate dinner with them. Jesus made the Pharisees mad because He ate with sinners. Amen. God loves sinners. That's why He came. Because everybody is one. Everybody is one. Amen. Amen. You're not a good person. Never were. Can't be. You don't. If there's any goodness in you, it's because God showed up one day. Hope He shows up tomorrow. Otherwise, it's just me. But we love the sinner. Amen. And then He commanded us in Matthew chapter 8, but chapter 20. And He came and spoke to them, saying, "All power is given to Me in heaven and in earth. All authority. Go, you. You go." Jesus is commanding you to go. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So this ambush that we're setting now, as opposed to coming in to kill the city and destroy the city, is not killing and destroying the people, but bringing them into the knowledge of the truth. Amen? To bring them to the knowledge of the truth. That's our mission. To take the city is to take the city with the grace of God. To take the city with the Word of God. If you look back over of course, Joshua 1:8, as we read, "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." In Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 1 through 12, they read the book of the law had been recovered after the Babylonian conquer. And they had recovered it. They're rebuilding the city. They recovered the book of the law. And they set up a great pulpit in front of the people and read the book of the law. And people wept to hear the word of God. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus got up in the presence of the synagogue and read the scripture concerning Himself. That the Lord, Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and He has anointed me to bring deliverance to the captives, sight to the blind, healing to them that are bruised, to bring the acceptable year of the Lord. So that's what the Word of the Lord is for. He is He has anointed you to bring good news to the captives, opening of eyes to them that are blind, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 15. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 15. "Remember the covenant forever, the word He commands to 1,000 generations." So why did they write down the Word of God? Why did they read it to them? So that they would remember the covenant of the Lord. And finally, let's look over at 2 Peter chapter 3. Over in verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness. How many know, well, where's the Lord? How come He hasn't gotten here yet? I'm looking at my watch. I'm hoping He'll show up soon. Where is He? Did He forget? Did He lose His calendar? But He is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not willing that any should perish. That's not His will. His will is not to withhold His grace and His mercy from anybody. But His will is that everyone, that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. These are the days when we're taking the city. And I just say, pray and get into the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak to you. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly and speak to your heart and cause you. I mean, you know, Jackie wasn't planning on doing this homeless ministry. It just fell in her lap. God dropped it in there. Monty he's a lawyer and a doctor, this little guy here, wherever he's gone to. But he's down there winning people to Jesus at the Presbyterian Night Shelter. He wasn't expecting to be doing that. What are you expecting to be doing? The Holy Spirit in these days is giving you direction. Take one step in at a time. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. The Holy Spirit will give you opportunity. Whether it's maybe just sharing with somebody, you know, at your place of work, place of business, place of school, you know, in your neighborhood get-togethers or gatherings, is that, Lord, use me to be a bold witness. Use me to be an ambush. Ambush, and kind of the definition of ambush is what? Where somebody wasn't expecting you. It's kind of like when my grandson runs up behind me and tackles me from the rear. Or my daughter's dog does that from time to time. You know, little corgi. He's not big, but he's solid. And when he decides to run upon you, you're surprised. But God will use you in such a manner. Because people need to know. People need the gospel of God. And you are a dispensary. You are filled with His promise. You are filled with His word. By the way, they took the city with that ambush. Amen? The people ran out of the city. They were unprepared now. They were unprepared. They thought they had this down. But the enemy doesn't know how to stand against the Word of God. The promise of God. God loves all people. He loves the people you like. He loves the people that you're irritated with. Amen. He loves all people. And He wants them to come to the knowledge of the truth. The dirty ones and the pretty ones. He wants them all to come into His kingdom. Amen. And that's so He's using you. Have an expectation. Just pray that. You know, God meets you. You know, you may be starting a new job. Anybody ever start a new job and you didn't know quite what was going to be involved? Anybody ever done that? I mean, you walked into it and you're like, I don't know what I'm doing. You know, Esther's got a job like that. She walked into it and they hired her like months in advance of when they were actually going to need her. And so she's kind of like, you know, trying to do stuff to stay busy, you know. Hope I don't get fired because nobody's given you anything to do yet. Always just say, God, just show up and deliver to me. Just make it easy. Just deliver to me what you want me to do and what you want me to say. Just have that be your prayer. You know, God will answer that prayer. God will answer that prayer. Amen. There's an amen right there. Anybody else say amen to that? Not just because you think I'm right, but just have you experienced that? You say, God, show up for me. Show up, tell me, lead me, and I will hear. And just cause me to hear your voice. I don't want to miss anything. Amen? You know, maybe it is the old politics. Maybe it is just saying something to that person, you know, when they have a need. Whatever it may be, you know. Can I pray for you? No. Well, let me know when I can, because I'm ready. You know, don't let it drop, you know. You said, I'm ready. I will pray for you. Well, if I can't pray for you now, I'm going to pray for you, you know, without your consent. So, because I know that God loves you. Amen. Well, God is doing great things. Amen? So, Lord God, let us be an ambush with the gospel of God, with the gospel of Jesus. Father, let us be your vessels to take the land that you have given to your kingdom. Father, we thank you that you are no longer in the business of killing, but that you're in the business of giving life and destroying, though, the works of the enemy, so that we might see the kingdom of God established in people all over the world, and then shall the end come.